Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Outside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil, within our careful reasoning, we search to no avail.
Mr. Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen. From the Innocent Age album. It's called The Nexus, that song. One of the best ones on there, and you've never heard it on the radio. Probably the first time you've ever heard it, if you didn't have the album, is on this show. It's an old one, though. It's about a 25-year-old album. It's still a good song, though. Bill Hubbard is our guest, and he's a little older than 25 years old. He's our Brain Trust member's expert on human resources. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. He's the author of The Medical Privacy Rule. He's our friend, and he's also a father. Happy Father's Day, Bill, a little bit early.
Well, thank you, and happy Father's Day to you, too, as well, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And you're a grandfather, too, right? So it's going to be Happy Grandfather's Day, too, right?
Well, that's true. That's true.
How are things?
Oh, pretty good.
Well, glad to have you here.
Always glad to be a part of the program and offer some ideas.
What's happening in Chicagoland?
Well, it's a beautiful sunny day. that's a good start.
That's a good thing in Chicago, isn't it? I mean, that's like a big day, big deal in Chicago, isn't it?
Well, the weather changes from time to time, and all we can do is complain about it.
Yeah, absolutely. How much snow did you guys get this year? Did you get a lot of snow?
A fair amount. Fair amount. I had more occasion to use the snow thrower than I did the previous season.
And I heard that the White Sox are having a great year, and the fans don't really care. You heard anything about that?
I don't know.
I saw an article about that the other day. Well, I think obviously you just proved my point. hey, Bill, let's talk about something that you've got on your mind this week, and this is something that, you know, if I just read the title to the article that you wrote and that we're going to work off of today. The piece we're going to work off today, people will probably start reaching for the dial. But folks, I'm not going to read the title because I don't want you to do that. But the thing is, at first my thought was, well, this won't affect that many people. But the truth is, this affects almost everybody, doesn't it?
This is pretty far reaching.
Because we're talking about credit report, taking credit information, and most people, even if they don't collect it, most people at some point in their year give it out, don't they?
Well, that runs both ways. And certainly the focus, the rule that we're talking about is referred to as FACTA, which is the Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act of 2003.
That's the one that I wouldn't read because I didn't want you to reach the dial, folks, so don't do it.
And basically what this law and part of the regulation from the Federal Trade Commission is saying is to be careful about how you dispose of the credit information that you have in your possession.
Mm-hmm.
So in the course of your business, if you are running credit reports on your customers as part of a sale transaction or a financing transaction or a loan transaction, and you're getting that credit report, then you're receiving information that's subject to this rule.
You know, Bill, many, I don't, how many minis can I add here, years ago, when you and I were just little bitty pups in the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
I worked for a furniture company, and we took credit applications because the furniture company actually did some in-house financing.
Yeah.
And they also, you know, brought in finance companies to take some of it. But either way, when the people wanted to finance their furniture, we took information about their credit. And you know, here I was just this young pup in college and taking this stuff down, didn't think anything about privacy at all. Of course, that was, as I said, that was many moons ago.
Yeah.
So my point, what I was getting at though is there still are small business owners out there who do that, who handle their own credit. There are car lots out there that people can buy a car from and finance. They buy the car there and they finance it there.
Yeah.
And so they're taking credit information. So the reason I point that out is some people might be thinking, well, you know, isn't it just MasterCard that does that now? You know, or something like that, and or isn't the bank the only one who does that? Well, no. It's a lot of small business owners take this kind of information.
And any time that you're getting, you're checking out your customer and getting any kind of credit information based upon, well, are they a reliable customer? Are they going to pay my bills? And one way to verify that is to run a credit check on that individual or that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've got that information, you're going to receive some type of data, some type of report. And the focus of this particular regulation is to say, well, yeah, you've got that information. We understand that you need that information for your business purposes. Point number one is only use it for that specific purpose for which you received.
Mm-hmm.
And then point number two is at the point in time that you decide to dispose of that information, take care to use reasonable, proper measures to prevent any further unauthorized use or disclosure of this credit information.
It's pointing out that there is a law against misuse of that information. I mean, you know, of course, obviously they've got to catch you, but still there is a law against it, and you will be, if you're found to abuse that, you will be charged with that law, won't you?
You will, and there can be financial penalties, and there can be some liabilities that go with that. An easy example of this is, well, let's upgrade our computer system. And we've got all these old CPUs and all these personal computers that are sitting on everybody's desk, and we're going to upgrade
this.
And it seems like these days we need to do that about every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all this old equipment, and, oh, gee, well, maybe we can give it to the school, or we can give it to this organization or whatever. And you make a well-intended donation to a third party. But if you haven't cleared the data from that computer, or cleared or erased or reformatted or whatever the approach might be, then you're opening yourself up to a potential violation. And this is where one of the data resources that results in identity theft, this is an attempt to catch one of those and to block that source of information.
Because when I took those credit reports, you know, all those years ago, that was all done with a pencil and paper or a pen and paper. We did have pens in those days, folks. We didn't use quills, but we did have pens. But it wasn't that long ago. But today, almost nothing like that is taken with pen and paper. It's almost all taken by computer, even for small companies, isn't it, Bill?
Much of it is, and that's really one of the key driving issues behind all of the privacy regulations, is there's so much information on computer and it's so easy to move it back and forth and to transfer it from one place to another that we really need to have good proper precautions and good steps in mind to protect the data so it only goes where it's supposed to go.
And we're going to talk about those steps when we come back after these messages. And you're probably thinking we're thinking business to consumer here. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill if this also covers business to business credit reporting. 20 after. Stay with us. Right back.
See the dog and bird. The faster we run,
three after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Bill Hubbard is our guest. William Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, our human resources expert. And I beseech you, I encourage you, I implore you to visit his website, because if you do, your IQ will go up. You'll get a lot smarter. Anything you do with Bill Hubbard makes you smarter. Bill, give us your website, please.
I guess that's a good thing.
Did I read that right, Bill?
Yeah, yes, you did. At Hubbard.com, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. And there is a lot of freebie information on there. You click on one of the buttons, and it says free valuable resources, and it's a list of many of the article topics that actually we have discussed on the show over the years.
And of course, Bill, you know how small business owners like free.
Well, I'm one.
But sometimes they get up off their hip and turn loose of a couple of bucks for a book. And, folks, I encourage you. This book, The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, I've got bookcases, and then I have a desk. The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy is on my desk. It's not in my bookcase. That's how I use it, and I have been ever since I got my first copy. And so that's how important I think it is, folks. I encourage you to check it out. And also the medical privacy rule is along the lines of what we're talking about right now, isn't it, Bill?
It deals with the privacy issues, and then my most recent release is the HIPAA security rule, a guide for employers and healthcare providers. And that one, in fact, while it addresses requirements under the HIPAA medical privacy regulation, that focuses on computer issues and data issues, which vary closely relate to and reflect the very topic we're discussing today. So if an organization were to look at some of the HIPAA regulations and implement some of the recommended protective procedures that arise from that, it will give you a good compliance standpoint and protection standpoint to guard against the FACTA issues that we're talking about.
And you've got a medical privacy website too, don't you?
Yes, we do. Medicalprivacy.info.
Okay, .info. And folks, just because you think you're not involved in the medical privacy and security issues, doesn't mean you don't need to know about it, because you may be and you don't know it, you don't realize it, or you may become that way. So you need to become, if you're a small business owner, you need to have at least a working knowledge of the medical privacy issues. And which brings us back to what we're talking about right now, is how we get rid of, how do we deal with, how we manage the credit information that we take. Bill, two things. Number one, you were talking earlier about the stuff that's on our hard drives. I was talking to a guy once who takes disposable stuff like that. You know, all of us, as you will, Bill, we all have a technology graveyards. It kind of heads toward the back door, you know, and then maybe once a year, every 5 years, we call somebody and they come get all the stuff. And he said you'd be amazed at the kind of information that he could get off of the hard drives and from those computers. He says some of it's very sensitive. The people don't even realize that they need to zap that stuff, or, you know, do something with it, run a magnet over it or something. That's one thing. The second thing, though, is, you know, when we were talking about collecting the credit information, typically I think people are thinking that is credit information from as a consumer to a business. But sometimes businesses take credit information about other businesses. Does this law apply there?
Yes, it would. Anything that comes off of a credit report, so where you're producing a credit report.
Even though there's no Social Security number involved, there's only maybe a tax ID number or something like that.
The same effective purpose is that's the Social Security number of the business. So basically it's the same information. So if you have credit information coming off of a credit report that you've received from a credit reporting service or agency, that is the type of information that this rule addresses, and consumer to business, business to business. And the third category that you may see is if you're evaluating job candidates or employees, and you want to get a credit report on them as well.
Part of the application is getting that kind of information, isn't it?
Yeah, in many cases it is, yeah.
Yeah. Why would a company want to know the credit information of an employee?
Well, if you've got somebody that you're putting in charge of a tremendous value of inventory or a tremendous amount of funds, and you want to make sure that their ability to handle their own personal financial circumstances is up to par. This is, in one sense, a qualification. In another sense, it's protection, because if you have put somebody into a job like that who can't keep their own finances in order and they have a tremendous amount of debt, the temptation to reach into the company pocket could be significant and does happen from time to time. So a credit rule or credit check evaluation of an individual in that type of a position is sometimes it's a good sound measure to take.
Well, and some employees need to be bonded from time to time, don't they?
That's true as well.
So I would think that in a bonding relationship that the bonding company would require a credit check.
They may. And again, the more that you can guard and protect against these kind of issues and take reasonable steps to make sure that the information is being handled properly, the better off you're going to be for your own protection, and that's part of the requirement for this regulation.
Bill, do companies need a policy to set out a policy and establish that for this kind of activity?
That is recommended.
All right. If they needed that, could you help them with that?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
That's what you do, isn't it?
Because we write policies on...
He's the policy man, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm the policy man. Not
seriously.
Insurance policies, but personnel policies and procedures, employment policies, administrative policies. And many of the policies that I write are based upon a regulation. And we go through the regulation. We identify, based upon that, a series of issues and develop a policy guideline to help the firm.
And you help people with this all over the country, don't you?
So, yes, I do.
So, folks, I encourage you to check out Bill, Hubbert.com, 2Bs, 2Ts. They can email you from there, can't they? And then you guys can hook up.
That would be fine.
Hubbert, Bill Hubbert, he is the best. Happy Father's Day, Bill.
Thank you, and same to you.
I'll see you later.
Great.
Quick break, right back with John Bertu after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Inspect- Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.